Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. We've been talking about pain and many of the different pains that people have to go through, and with me making a suggestion that I think people duck away from pain a little too much, and that it's part of the modeling that we have for our children, and how children, when they see us always being pain avoidant, tend to want to step away from pain of all sorts, including some of the pain of just being disciplined or having to follow through on what they want to follow through on. Today I want to talk about something else. Today I want to talk about theft. I want to talk about stealing. You know, when a child or a teenager steals, parents are naturally concerned. They worry or cause what a child to steal. They wonder whether their son or daughter is a juvenile delinquent. It's normal for every child to take something which excites his or her interest. This should not be regarded as stealing until the youngster is old enough, usually 3 to 5 years old, to understand that taking something which belongs to another person isn't right. Parents should actively teach their kids about property rights and the consideration of others. And remember, parents are role models. So if your parent comes home with stationery or pens from the office, or brags about a mistake at the supermarket checkout counter, the lessons about honesty will be lost on the child. It's very hard. And although they've learned that theft is wrong, older children or teenagers steal for various reasons. A youngster may steal to make things equal if a brother or sister seems to be favored with affection or gift. And that's what brings me to what I remember. I was recently sitting with somebody who was watching a movie. It was either Goodfellas or Once Upon a Time in America, which was about growing up in neighborhoods where practically all the time you're looking to see, what could I take? You know, and it's all about, where am I going to get it? And gangs hang out with each other. And gangs go and they steal from other gangs.
Okay.
Yes. And they are, and so they're trying to take things from each other. And so it's all about every minute what you're getting, how you're getting it, where you're getting it from, who you're going to take it from, and then you watch things like Copland. Or where they show dirty police all the time stealing things. And it's like, it's hard to even believe that an honest cop exists from the way they're being portrayed on television. Hill Street Blues, NYPD Blues, or that series on television, which is all about, it's called Badge or something. What is it called? The Shield, that's what it's called. So we look at this, and I grew up this way. I grew up looking around the neighborhood saying, what do we take? Because there are the stores, and if the store has records standing outside, you steal a record. But it comes from an idea. It comes from a thought. People who steal, people who believe that the way to get something is to step outside of the culture and do something the culture kind of tries to say, look, guys, let's all hang out together and let's not do this thing. Let's not hurt each other. Let's not steal from each other. Let's not do it. Now, of course, those are the nice rules. But when you're starving, you feel there's an injustice, and you could rationalize it to yourself. You say to yourself, yeah, but that's the rules for them, but they're the ones who have, and we're the ones who don't have. Remember Robin Hood? He would steal from the rich and give to the poor. Now we have this kind of other Robin Hood. He steals from the poor and he builds the coffers of the rich, right? I mean, that's the new version of it. No, we can justify. So there's one kind of stealing where you feel that you balance things by taking from people. Now, even though that may seem like it makes sense and it's almost justifiable, it's a form of sociopathy. What does that mean? That means that you believe you could do what you want in a society, and you could take advantage, and you could do whatever you want without trying to think of the consequences that it may have on the other people. For example, steal from a department store, and without knowing it, the price of goods go up for everybody. Steal from a telephone company. Without knowing it, the price of telephone services go up for everybody. Everything we take, somehow, one way or another, a person works at a restaurant. He takes home dinner for his kids. He hides it under his jacket and brings home a piece of meat. Prices have to go up. Restaurants have to close. People have to get fired. All over small stuff. Does it mean that I'm saying you shouldn't do it? Nope. No, I think people get by the best they can, but I think that there's consequences that I would like to bring up. Let's go back to the child for a moment. Although they've learned that sometimes a child could steal as a show of bravery to friends, or to give presents to families or friends, or to be more accepted by peers. Children may also steal out of a fear of dependency. They don't want to depend on anybody, so they take what they need. So there's another justification that children do. Parents should consider whether children have stolen out of need for more attention, which happens frequently. Frequently, it's a child saying, I must steal love in some form. When you steal a record, what are you stealing? You're stealing something that you could play on a machine, and if you, they don't make records, but if you're stealing a CD, when I was a kid, we stole records. But what are you doing? You're stealing music for yourself. Music, something that's going to make you feel connected. Somehow, you're stealing love. When you steal jewelry that you're going to wear, even if it's costume jewelry, what are you stealing? If you steal clothing in a department store, you know, many people go in department stores, especially women. They try on clothing. They wear those clothing under their regular clothing and they walk out. Why? Because this is going to make them more attractive. And in some way, they are stealing love. My hypothesis, my friends, is that we're all trying to steal love. We're trying to find it one way or another. We don't feel love. And the person who is a thief is unloved. They don't feel loved. So they're out there doing it. What do you do with a kid? If a parent takes proper measures, in most cases the stealing stops as the kid grows older. Child and adolescent psychiatrists recommend that when a parent finds out a child has stolen, they, number one, they remind the kid that stealing isn't the right thing to be doing. Number two, they help the youngster to pay for or return the stolen object. Now, one of my assistants just told me about a story where somebody was forced to bring back something that was stolen. And the very act of having to bring it back, oh, you told me the story, having to bring back something that a child stole undid it forever. The child never stole again. They had to face the person they stole from. Getting caught stealing is like that sometimes, but it doesn't seem to end it when people get caught stealing. They seem to go back to stealing. But having to face up to having done it, stealing things, stealing, what about when you steal from your boss? What about when you're doing text messaging in the middle of a day when you're getting paid for your time, and you take a half hour out to text message your friends because it can't be seen? What about, is that stealing? Well, you say to yourself, I'll justify it. I work too hard. I need a break. Right? Stealing time from bosses, stealing from the Internal Revenue Services, phoning in sick when you want to take a day off and getting paid for the day. These are all parts of the system that are saying, I need more love than I have in my life. I can't seem to get it the normal way. I am not lovable, and therefore I steal. It's a kind of a remarkable thing. I've seen a few people who have gone through it. When they wake up to the fact that every time they steal, they step away from the society, that they're stepping outside. It's like, you know, one thing about comedians are very lonely. Why are comedians lonely? Because in order to be a comedian, you have to step out of society to look at society, to create jokes about society, about people. So you have to step aside. You're always outside looking in. When you're a comedian, you're always looking at situations and saying, I'm going to make a joke about that. But you're not in the situation. When you're a thief, you're stepping outside of the society and you're saying, I'm not a part of this. I am taking something. I'm not a part of the general welfare. I'm not part of a group. So stealing is an act of unlovedness. Do I judge it? Do I say to people, therefore you're bad and you shouldn't be loved? No. I'm just saying it's reflecting something. Stealing is about love's meagerness. It's about meager love. It's about not having it. Now, especially when you watch these films, Goodfellas, or you watch some of these films about the Lower East Side or some of the gang neighborhoods, love's not available there. And when you look at Los Angeles and you look at some of the gang fights, love's not very available. People are desperate. They're trying the best they can. And love's not available. What is love? That's a good question. Somebody caring and somebody having the time for you. You know, simple enough. So we want to look at this a little different, and I want to look at it with you. I want to look at the part of you that thinks you've got to steal, that has to take. Because, you know, what is it? Do you have entitlement? Do you think you have a right to do it because you've been ripped off? If the gas companies could charge you $3 a gallon for gas, and you've got to move from one place to another because you have to do your job and you don't have a choice, and they up your gas rate while the price of gas is still dropping, but they up your gas rate and you get ripped off and you know you get ripped off, do you feel justified if the pump doesn't work and suddenly you get more gas in your tank than you should? Couldn't you say to yourself, there, that'll teach him? You know, well, I know some people who wouldn't do it. I know some people who would say, no, if I didn't want to service them and their gas and this stuff, I would do something different in my life. But I'm not going to join them. There's also the risk factor, the exciting part of it, stealing. Daring, you know, if you're depressed and you walk around and you steal something, it really sends a charge through your body. Some people do it just because they're depressed. Other people do it because they're angry. But that could also be the same thing. It's just a way of keeping your energy up. There's a lot of chemicals that go off whenever you steal something and you're waiting to see whether you get caught or not when you walk through that gate that has a little thing that might go off that might say it's you, you took something. It's amazing. I love the look on somebody's face when somebody says, I walked out of a store one day with a bag full of stuff I just bought and the alarm went off. And the guard was calling out after me and I was looking at the guard and I was in a hurry. I had a cab waiting for me or a car waiting for me and I was in a hurry. And I said, well, what is it? He said, well, your tags aren't all off. I says, I know, but I just bought everything. And I was just going out and it was kind of like not even a thought to me because I know I didn't take anything. It wasn't even a thought, but I realized I was doing something unjust. I should have gone back, should have let them look at it, should have let them see, should have let them find out what may be wrong with the system. 212-209-2900, this is Armand DeMille. I'm with you. You know, stealing is a big, big subject. It's big. We try it in all different forms, but I could just say to you that the person who takes things that somehow they're not entitled to, has a sense of themselves as not being a part of their culture. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's hear what you have to say about it. 212-209-2900. Want to take some calls today. The last 2 days we've been giving you programming. We did Mayo Clinic on Tuesday. We did yesterday with the neurologist and the psychiatrist about pain. 212-209-2900. So have you ever had an experience of getting caught stealing? What was that like? It's going to be very hard for anybody to fess up to it. 212-209-2900. So, well, let's break the ice. Let's get a caller in here. Let's get somebody who says, "Okay, Armand, let me tell you about what happened to me or where I am." It's also very frustrating to be in a society where you constantly have to defend yourself against being so. I mean, why do we buy insurance? You know, we buy insurance for being robbed. If somebody breaks into your house, they call it fire and theft. You have to buy insurance about being robbed. Or then, on the other hand, you have to buy medical insurance. And if you have medical insurance and you try to put in a claim, the medical insurance, the insurance claim board is there to deny you a claim. Or better yet, if you're trying to fight for a claim for somebody. Steph, tell the story. I wanted to tell the story about what happened with Medicare. It's a real interesting story. I got Stephanie Dombra here with me, who fights for people. I mean, she fights for people, right? And now
five callers on the line.
Yeah, go ahead. Stephanie, what was that story? What happened with Medicare?
Well, I was on the phone for 27 minutes. I even timed it. How long I had to wait for a real person to come and talk to me.
And when they did?
I had to explain to them over and over again that I keep submitting all these very accurate claims.
And you're very
accurate.
And I
keep getting denied.
And for your clients now.
Yes. And so finally, this woman got on the phone, and she said, "You're right. We didn't process this properly, and we will send it out immediately." And I was very thankful, and I was very appreciative, but I can't believe, still, 27 minutes.
All right, but now during that time, and this is very important.
That was stealing my time.
Yes, it was stealing your time, and it was an injustice. But during this time, did you get angry?
No, because I had the ability to put the phone down, put it on speaker, and do my stuff at the same time. So I have a system now when I'm going to call an insurance company, so that I don't get myself frustrated and worked up.
Because what happens when you get frustrated and worked up?
You want to take it out on the representative.
And what happens?
I catch myself and I say, you know, I understand that you didn't create this system, but I feel really frustrated that I've been on the phone.
So what happens when you're angry at people who you think are being unjust with you? They have a perfect box to put you in. They have a way of dealing with you once you start yelling at them. See? And you're not going to get anywhere. And we have learned that wrath is not counter to theft, you know? And where they're trying to deny you a claim for one reason or another, because they'd perfectly be happy denying you the claim, your anger isn't going to break through to them.
No.
No, they say, "Oh, yes, I'll call you back tomorrow. My name is, I can't give my name. They don't allow me to give my name. I can only give you my extension." You never find them again.
That's right.
"I guarantee you I'll call you tomorrow" is the new claim. You know, the new thing.
If you get a person.
Yeah. I hope everybody's lucky enough to get you as their representative.
Thank
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with Stephanie Dombra. Let's take a call. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I just wanted to share something similar to what you was just talking about. My daughter purchased a car for the first time in her life, and I was concerned that she kept it serviced and everything, and she had to go to the service center on her warranty. She couldn't go anywhere else. And for the first time, taking her car to this place, thinking it's a Honda place with her Honda car and everything would be Honda perfect, she came out and her center caps were missing off of all four of her tires. And I couldn't believe it. I said, "Well, you went in with center caps, and we have a picture of your car to prove it, and now you have no center caps." So I said, "Well, you need to tell them and show them the picture that this is what's missing and you want it back." So when she went back, you know, they told her, "Well, you didn't come in with center caps, and we don't know about that picture you're showing us, and so the only thing we can do is have you buy more center caps." And when she told me, I couldn't believe it. I said, "This is crazy." So I said, "I'm going with you." Now, my daughter's 30 years old, but I had to advocate for it because I said, "You need a witness and you need backup." And when I went in there, my daughter's trying to show this picture. I said, "Put that picture down. I want to speak to someone in charge, and I want to speak to someone who can explain the center caps and why they're missing." And they all just backed away. I said, "Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen to me in this place? All men, and I'm a female." And my daughter's standing there with her mouth open. So finally, someone came and said, "Can I help you?" And I just drew a diagram of four wheels. And I said, "There's supposed to be center caps on each tire of these four wheels. And each tire is missing a center cap. What are you going to do about it?" they said, well, we don't know what happened, ma'am, but we are happy to replace it at no charge. And so my daughter felt better about it. But the punchline is, these center claps are plastic, so they're nothing like the ones that were taken. So we still felt like we were cheated, even though we had customer service. There's nothing we can do about it, but we felt like at least we tried. And I told her, look, I'm going to write a letter, and I'll send it to the service center about how, even though you helped us resolve the matter, we are not happy customers, and just leave it at that.
Well, you're great. What's your first name?
Excuse me?
Jenny?
Yeah, my name is Jenny.
Yeah, hey, Jenny, you know, that's a great thing because you also reflect something else. When you decide that you're going to deal with it, you also write a letter. Now, there's this new thing that's happening, and the new thing is happening around the world, which is email is getting dumped, voicemail boxes are getting filled, and people are not listening to them, but letters are becoming strong evidence.
Yeah.
So writing a letter with a date and having it mailed out, that letter moves from agency to agency, from person to person. It could go all the way up to the president because it's a letter.
Yes.
And I'm encouraging everybody, if you're satisfied with something, write a letter.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dissatisfied, write a letter. And try not to be too accusatory and try not to fit everything all into one letter. Don't scrunch up your words so that everything fits on one page because it looks crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Write a decent letter, and especially here at WBAI, write a letter to the management. Tell them what you like at WBAI. Tell them the programs you like. Tell them the ones you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Write a letter. Write a letter. And so, Jenny, you're becoming a part of the fix. Now, you know, the problem is with your daughter, even though you solved the problem for her, it once again makes her remember how small she is.
I know.
And it must feel bad to you. You don't want to do this.
No, she's 30 years old.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't understand how come they wouldn't listen, even though she had
a tissue. Well, what would have happened if you let her just lose her caps?
Well,
what would have happened to you? I know, no. Well, what would have happened? Just let's think about this. What if she lost
them? Not help her to get...
Yeah, what if you didn't step in?
Well, I know she was getting depressed about it, looking at her car. And
I understand. I understand.
And feeling that she was being taken advantage and couldn't go anywhere else because
of
the
warranty. So what do you think would have happened eventually?
Well, I think
you think she would have committed suicide?
No, she probably would have just been a really evil person because she's so sweet. I told her, you don't have to turn into a monster, but you do have to speak in simple words. Nobody's going to look at you.
The trouble with a parent like you, Jenny, is you're so powerful. Your kids very often give up. You got to be careful being too powerful for them. And sometimes you got to just back off and let them take their losses till they develop their own muscle. It's only center caps, you know?
I know, but I'm thinking...
I know,
this is
I
something
know.
That she's thinking is part... We didn't know the anatomy of the wheel if a car was going to fall apart.
Yeah, oh, I understand.
So I felt that was so
I
wrong.
I hear you, but I think you hear me also.
I do.
You're a powerful being.
Well, I have
and
to
being
work
powerful
on.
Means sometimes you just got to lay back and let your kids fall down.
Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe you'll have something later on in the future about how parents can back up, because I could never do that. I just find it so hard.
Well, I'm going to ask Stephanie, who's sitting right here. Stephanie, what do you do with your kids? Here's somebody who is a specialist in this right here. What do you do? I mean, how many times can you solve problems for your children, right?
Well, I really believe you as the parent has to deal with the anxiety of watching the child, your child, even if she's 30, 13, whatever the age is, that initially it's really uncomfortable for you to see them potentially suffer, but later on you will definitely help her. And you could tell her that you're doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's odd to say to her, you know, I want you to be able to do these things for yourself so that you can function in the world.
And I'm going to back off. And if you choose not to do it, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way of approaching.
You know, it's helping them. It's like you could lift up this pot by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't want to put in the effort, it's okay. We'll leave this pot on the floor, but I'm not going to lift it up for you.
I see. I'm going to try that. I'm going to start today.
Say it again, Stephanie.
I had an example with my son just the other day. He had to go through a whole entire pound of cooking pasta and not getting it right, and I had to sit back and not do anything and just explained to him, look at the box, explaining the directions, and he got it the second time.
He's cooking for his friends.
Cooking for his friends.
But yeah. But this was like a car. I mean, something like that.
Yeah,
I know.
I know it's on big stuff, too.
Something
it's on the big stuff and the small stuff.
Yeah, I'll start with small. I don't really help with small things. I just laugh.
I think you know what I'm saying in intention, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
I believe your heart. I believe your integrity. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Let's take another quick call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to talk about theft. I've been a victim of theft.
Yes.
I would like to... one night I was coming home from a fishing trip. I live on Long Island in Suffolk County.
Yeah.
And I have a long wooded driveway. And I saw an ominous figure at the end of the driveway. And to make a long story short, he stole my anal virginity.
Hang up on that. All right. And this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. There are people who want to steal from the station, too. And to... and they want to... they want to take wherever they can. And sometimes, even from a station like WBAR, you know, even a good thing like this, they just want to come in and sully the neighborhood. This is Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to, let's take one more call. Hi there, you're on the air. Let's take one more. Let's see, Reggie, let's grab another. 212-209-2900. Do we have somebody else there?
There should be somebody there.
Yeah, there's nobody here. Hello. No, I hear nobody there. Let's try switching over to someone else.
Try it now.
Hello there. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Well, we got something funny going on here with our station today. We've had a little engineering problem this morning getting over, connecting to the West Coast and coming back. But we have masters of engineering who are going to pull this all together. So we're not going to take any more calls now. We will take them after the break at 1:30 today. Right now, I want to remind you what we're talking about. We're talking about stealing, and we're talking about what a child does. Now, when a child does have to return a stolen object, you make sure that the child doesn't benefit from the theft in any way. Like, they can't pay for something and then keep the object of what they did by you paying for them. No more calls now. They can't avoid lecturing. You have to avoid lecturing and predicting the future behavior and try to get too overcomplicated about the punishment for the child. You want to make clear that the behavior is not acceptable within the family and within the community. When the child is paid and for return the reported material, the matter should not be brought up again by the parents, so that each time the child can begin with a clean slate. There shouldn't be more than 3 incidents before it's considered a real problem. If it's persistent or accompanied by other problem behaviors, the stealing may be a sign of a more serious problem in a child's emotional development or in problems in the family. Since they refuse to give me what I need, I will take it, becomes the attitude. And it's an attitude that we all grew up with. Well, many of us did, and some of us didn't. This is Armand DeMille with you. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll play a little music, and then we'll continue with our program and your phone calls. Be right back.
Like many of you, like many Americans, I have felt frustrated and betrayed by the state of the mainstream media in this country, a media whose priorities seem out of step with their responsibilities. We need a media that strengthens democracy, not a media that strengthens the government. We need a media that enriches public discourse, not one that enriches corporations.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and this is WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
Tune in Thursday, July 9th, from 3 to 5 p.m. for the next report from the WBAI Local Station Board. This month, you'll hear from various members of the board who will talk about their responsibilities and the recent developments throughout the Pacifica network. And of course, your questions and comments will be part of the mix. So mark that date on your calendar, Thursday, July 9th, 3 to 5 p.m. for our report from the WBAI local station board. Only on WBAI in New York, 99.5 on your FM dial.
WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
Always have to steal my kisses from you. I remember as kids, I know we grew up in different neighborhoods, my friends, but in my neighborhood, when boys would talk about girls, they would talk about stealing things from them. I stole a kiss. I stole a feel. In fact, the expression was copped a feel, which is kind of funny. Where's the word cop come from? Did it come from policemen? You know, it was like, Where did we even get that? It was all like stealing. It was all like sneaky stuff. It was all stuff you weren't entitled to. And, you know, when I think about nature and I think about animals in nature, that's the way they do it, too. You know, every animal will steal food from another animal, and that's the survival of the fittest. It's just that we've tried to become a culture that was different. We've tried to raise above those primitive instincts of ours and get past our reptilian brain, where we say, look, we're going to be a part of this team. And if we're at the low end of the totem pole, it doesn't mean we're going to just violate all the rules. Let's fight within the system. Let's protest and stand there. Let's not throw paint on fur coats as our way of rebelling. You know, that's a bigger issue, I guess, throwing toxic paint on fur coats. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take one of your calls. Hi there, you're on the air. Hello? 212-209-2900. Not the best luck today. Another call. Hi there, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, there we have you. Yes.
Hi.
Could you talk up a little bit?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I need your voice to be just a little louder.
Oh,
there you
back.
Are. There you are. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, I'm calling in. First of all, my name is Jenny as well.
Denny?
And Jenny.
Jenny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the phone. This is a show just for Jennys.
Okay.
Jenny.
Hello, and Jenny. I feel that, you know, my ex-husband stole my life. And I don't know if that, I mean, it's not physical, but in the end, I've had it tough. You know, I after the divorce, it was a series of downhills, and I'm just trying to, you know, come to some sort of conclusion to help myself back up again in terms of that.
Well, okay, let's go somewhere for a moment, okay? It makes a lot of sense to think my husband stole my life, of course, because there he was, you trusted him, you spent time with him, you dedicated yourself to him in a good, innocent kind of way, and he ripped you off. That's clear, right?
Yeah.
All right, now, the problem is that you were choosing the wrong person for the right things, that your whatever choice method you used, you weren't choosing very well. You needed desperately to be loved, so you picked somebody who wasn't really very capable of loving you. That was the beginning. That's your trial. That's your coming out. So then finally you unmask it, and you say, oh, this is not where I'm going to get mine, and you leave it. Now you're in that transition. Now, since the divorce, you are transitioning, and you are molting. You are becoming the person you are. Yes, you're in an older body. Yes, you don't attract people the way you used to. Yes, you don't have all your skills that you used to have. Yes, you're a little lonely.
That's true,
yes,
that's true.
I know, I understand. But listen, this is freedom. The other way was slavery, and you weren't even there because the person you thought you loved clearly wasn't loving you back.
I can't even make money like I used to.
Of course not.
Ooh, you know, I finished.
Yeah, all right.
Bachelor's and,
sure, it's tougher. And it's tougher being alone. Being alone is tough, but being alone and being, as opposed to being with somebody and not being, that's a real choice. You know, that's a real choice. So you're one of those people who are in this middle transition. Now, how long have you been divorced? It's been about 2 years?
No, I would say at least 10 years.
10 years, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and since that time, you've just been finding yourself getting lower and lower and lower?
Well, yeah, I went into real estate, now the market is gone, and I went to school part-time, got an educational degree. I can't even get a job.
Jenny, it's an amazing fight. But
and I was there for my daughter. You know, I could have left the state,
and went to another state.
But, you know, I was here for her graduation. And I said, well, once she's graduated, then there are no jobs. So,
Jenny, in the meantime, while you're doing what you can, you seem to be a really giving person. And I'm saying it's a transition. And it's a transition so many of us have to go through.
How long?
You know, Jenny, it sounds like you've already come out of it. It doesn't sound like you're just stuck in it. It sounds like you've already come out of it. You know, you're just fighting to find some good friends.
Yeah, my friends have been there for me, my mother. But the loneliness is really getting to me,
I think it's time to volunteer. It's time to put your time somewhere where you meet people who are of equal mind, find people who you could think with. Don't wind up going to the same old places. Try to find places that stretch you a little, whether it be a museum a little bit or something that you normally wouldn't do. Step out of your normal places. You know, even though you may not think you look the best or you feel the best, get outside of your neighborhood and find a new neighborhood and find little things you could do. If it means going and sitting at a cafe in Brooklyn somewhere or doing something different, find a way out.
Well, I was thinking of leaving the state.
Yeah, nice idea. Where to?
Well, North Carolina.
What a beautiful place. What a beautiful place to be. I hear more and more people going down to North Carolina from BAI who are going down there, and I've got friends moving down there just this week. Not a bad idea.
Okay. All right.
Good to hear from you, Jenny, and thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Jenny, who's next? Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Yes.
Yes,
this is Susan.
Hello, Susan.
Hi. I'm talking, I really am bothered by the fact that so many companies and corporations, in their downsizing of everything, don't have live operators, and the rest of us have to listen to menus for the first 10 minutes or so. Now, they're saving money by not having employees, but they are not paying me for all my time that I have to wait and wait and wait with a menu that doesn't answer what I need.
Does make you angry, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it does.
Well, let me tell you the system. Here's what they figured out. They figured this out. They figured people are getting so good at manipulating and getting around the systems. And the people they hire, they can't pay enough to be really sharp. These are people who usually answer phones. So they decided, let's make it so complex that unless somebody could jump through these hurdles, we're not going to let them get their rewards. And yes, of course it's that way. Now, you call my clinic. I have a center I run. We have somebody answering the phone. We still do. I'll tell you, it's tempting at times. Because when the employee gets sick and we don't know what to do and we're phoning people and we're tempted to go to machine. And I'm saying, what happens if we go to machine? We don't lose anything. But we love the service. We're dedicated to that. But I don't understand. I do understand what you're talking about. And here's the deal. Them who can't put up with the telephone system are losing. And those who learn how to put the phone on speakerphone, like Stephanie
don't
does.
Don't have a speakerphone.
Make one.
Well, I don't know how you make one.
I know you. How do you get? Let me ask Stephanie. How do you get a speakerphone? They're $19, right? No. What do you do? Go ahead, Steph. You're on the air.
Yes, you get a speakerphone or you get earphones.
I have to go out and buy a new phone.
Very inexpensive.
In order to accommodate corporations
No. In order to accommodate.
To begin with.
In order to accommodate yourself.
Well, no,
and your peace of heart.
I'm having to accommodate to their greed.
Of course. You know what happened to me the other day? I looked out my window. I have an apartment. I live fairly high up. Looked out my window and somebody built an apartment building taller than mine. And I said, there goes my sunshine. A little bit. But it's part
of... Yeah, but that's not quite the same thing.
It's part of my sunshine.
And if you're calling because you need to speak to customer service.
Yeah, I know, hon.
When
I hear your anger, I hear it.
The merchant is not supposed to pay attention to the customer.
I know. Susan, do you know I'm in agreement with you?
The merchants are acting like, you don't count at all. They'll do as they can, please.
Susan.
The banks do the same thing.
But you know what happens? Your anger gets them to not listen to you. And then nowadays, they are just defended against your anger because your anger is justified. You got to learn to cool it out when you talk to these people. And be patient and get a speakerphone. And for $19, you buy yourself a little peace of mind.
I don't care to be patient when they're doing...
I know, but you're angry.
First of all, the reason I'm having to call them
It's an injustice anyway.
Because they committed fraud or cheated
Sure, but the anger doesn't get you there.
Already... I am being cheated, and then I can't.
Hey, Susan, do you think I like you?
Person.
Do you think I like you? What do you think?
I beg your pardon?
Do you think I like you?
No.
What do you think? I do like you. I do like you. You're my sister. You're part of my family. You're part of WBAI. I care about you. When I'm saying this to you about the anger, I'm saying to you, this is for your sake. Not for their sake. And whatever you want to do, you do. Maybe we need to have warriors like you screaming all the time, but I'm just telling you, people are defending themselves more and more against the public outrage by putting up walls. And the way to get around those walls is with patience.
Okay, I guess my feeling about defending themselves against public outrage is don't give the public the legitimate reasons to be outraged.
Sure.
Do what you're supposed to do and be principled and ethical.
I wish.
And if you're not, you deserve to go out of business. That simple. I couldn't be happier over Wall Street. I couldn't be happier over the banks.
All
right. They deserve to go out.
I'm not arguing with that part of you.
And I wouldn't have bailed them out either.
Are you glad Obama got elected?
Yes, I am, but certainly, I mean, God, yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thank you for calling in. I got to get going. You have a smile in your voice. I love to hear it. I'll speak to you again, Susan. 212-209-2900. This is Armand Amil. Good. You hear a good example of it with Susan. Of course she has that outrage. Of course we're outraged. But they're defended against your outrage. It no longer works. The protests and the banner doesn't work. They're defended. What they're not defended against is when you as an adult go in there and say, yes, I understand. Let's work on this together. Hi, you're on the air. Let's take the call.
Hi, good afternoon. I haven't heard the last few callers, so I hope I'm not missing anything key in terms of the discussion going on. But I'd like to go back to what you said originally about theft being based on a need for love.
Yes.
And
your name?
I'm Sarah.
Sarah, good.
Yes. And I guess, you have to excuse me, sometimes I do get nervous, but if you look at things on a global scale, you know, the hoarding of wealth, you're familiar, I'm sure everybody is familiar with this fact. And one theory I have that I kind of carry around with me is that if there was some way of conveying to the people who are doing this hoarding, because it really isn't very many people, it's, you know, a large amount of the wealth on the planet is being held in a relatively...
Okay, but wait, Sarah, just because I don't want to get to the point where we're going to have to end it, and we have just about two minutes left, but speak about yourself before we talk about the general public.
Sure.
Do you like to steal?
No, actually, I really don't.
In fact, you never do you?
Well, I try not to.
And so you believe that there is a way to deal with it other than just outrage, right?
Yeah, well, I do want to make an amendment to what I just said, and I take time. The one thing I do hold for myself is time, to think and to engage the world the way I, you know, am most comfortable. I'm able to do that because I care for an elderly relative.
Yeah,
and so I have, it's kind of a trade-off. I'm not making very much money, but I'm performing a service. But, just to amend, you know, the point about not feeling.
Sarah, unfortunately.
Point. Sorry. Yeah,
so, unfortunately, no, we've got to go, but I really value your opinion, so I'm sure to call in us the next time. Or send me an email.
Can I say it real quick?
Yeah.
Just if there was some way to show love to these people and let them know that their children will be cared for and that they don't, I think they are afraid of the masses of poor people on the planet.
Sure.
And so it's just an idea to put out there.
I appreciate your idea. And how about sending me an email to spell it out
sure.
a little more?
Mm-hmm.
Armand@thepositivemind.com.
Yeah, okay, I have that written down.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Sarah.
Very good. My pleasure. Take care.
Thanks for calling in. This
sure.
is Armand Amil with you. We have to go a little early because I want to play an announcement for you today about the elections that are coming up. Any of you who've got time to be part of WBAI at this point, really would like to see some people get on the board of WBAI. You need 15 votes. You probably get mine. Just ask me for a signature. Love to see you, our audience, be part of this healing. I'll be back with you, my friends, on Tuesday at 1 p.m.
Hey, want to participate in the WBAI?